I'm walking through Lviv right now. This is where our interviewer, Zhanna Litinskaya, spent three afternoons with Sarah Kaplan back in 2002. The subject of their talk? Berdichev, where Sarah grew up. Berdichev is around 3 hours west of Kyiv and it has around 100,000 residents, or at least it did before the Russian invasion of 2022. This is the city that gave the world the novelist Joseph Conrad, and relevant for our podcast, Vasily Grossman, the author of Life and Fate, surely one of the greatest novels of the 20th century. We'll return to Vasily Grossman in another episode. In the mid-1800s, nearly 80% of Berdichev was Jewish. But this was no shtetl. There were tens of thousands of Jews here, scores of synagogues. Even one of the law courts held its trials in Yiddish. But the 20th century would not be kind to Berdichev nor its Jews. First came the Holodomor, the Great Famine, which affected everyone, then the Holocaust, when the Germans murdered perhaps as many as 20,000 Jews. Sarah Kaplan was one of the very few surviving members of her enormous family. And here's an excerpt from her conversation with Zhanna, read for you in London by Dame Janet Suzman.
My father, Naaman Greenberg, told me that every afternoon after finishing cheder, he worked with his father in the family dairy, and on Friday, he took a horse and buggy and delivered dairy products to Jewish families. He always stopped near the gate of the Kivnik family, and the oldest daughter, Esther, would be there, waiting for him. He told me that he used to take her on rides, share some sweets with her, and bring her back home. They would marry in 1915. I was born in 1916, my brother Avram in 1917, and my sister Rosa a year later. My mother's side of the family lived in an enormous house. She, her sisters, and her brother's wives cooked those beautiful dinners for Friday evenings. And there were dozens of children, parents and grandparents who came. In fact, our entire lives revolved around going to synagogue and preparing those meals. As for the synagogue, it looked like a palace to me. It had beautifully carved handrails on the staircase leading up to the women's balcony and chandeliers overhead, and you could hear the crystals softly clinking. After services, we came home for Shabbos dinner. Everyone was dressed in their finest, and there were huge tureens of soup, platters of gefilte fish, and those lovely roast chickens. But in 1932, the Holodomor began, the Great Famine. The food started running short, then practically disappeared, and we began starving like everyone else. You could just see dead people lying in the streets. There was no longer a way to get bread or flour. We were given a miserable meal at school, and my father provided us with whatever he could get. My stomach began to swell up from hunger. That was when Shunya Geshman, the son of my mother's best friend Frida, arrived from Moscow. Shunya had come to visit his aunt in Berdichev, but when he stopped by to say hello and saw what terrible shape we were in, he said to my mother, "Let Sarah come with me back to Moscow, otherwise she'll starve to death here." My mother refused. Shunya stayed another week, trying to convince my mother. The day before his departure, he came back one more time, and mother blurted out, "You want to take her with you, then marry her." Instantly, he agreed. I came home from school that day. I walked in and saw that Mother was baking some pies, something we could hardly afford. I asked, "Is it a holiday? Where did you get the flour?" And she replied, "You are getting married today." I was dumbstruck. Shunya was an old man to me. He was 21, and I was just 16. But I didn't dare to disobey my mother. It just wasn't the way I was raised. Almost immediately, we had a small wedding party. A rabbi hurried over and set up a chuppah in the yard. We made 7 circles around it. The rabbi issued a marriage contract, and all my relatives congratulated me. My new husband stayed in his aunt's house. And the next morning, we left for Moscow by train. I was sobbing. As bad as things were in Berdichev, I really didn't want to be taken away like this. I had my mother's down shawl with me. I wrapped myself in it, and it made me feel just a little bit better. We arrived in Moscow, and when Shunya told his mother that I was now his wife, she was shocked. How could he enter a marriage without even discussing it with her? But in a minute or two, she understood. He had actually saved her best friend's daughter from starving. Frida prepared a bath for me, combed my hair, and made beds for us in different rooms. During the whole time that I stayed in her house, she didn't allow my husband to share a bed with me. He was very kind and respectful and didn't even try to enter my room. Every day, Shunya commuted to his work at a barber shop in Gorky Street. I was homesick, but I did my best not to show it. But at night, I kept sobbing into my pillow. After I'd been there around 8 weeks, I guess, Frida's brother Gedali came on a visit from Odessa. He was a jeweler and was in Moscow on business. Gedali asked me why I looked so sad. He was horrified when I told him. Very quietly, he told me he would buy my ticket and take me home, and he told me not to breathe a word and kept it just between us. On the day of departure, I packed my few belongings and wrapped them in my mother's shawl, but I couldn't just slip away, so I told my mother-in-law. Of course, she begged me to stay, but my mind was made up. I was going home. When we boarded the train, I saw Shunya sprinting along the platform. The train began to move, and Shunya was running alongside, waving, begging me to get off. But I only waved back. I didn't feel the least bit guilty. There I was, 16 years old, and I was going back to my family. Gedali had already sent a telegram to my mother, and she met me at the station in Berdichev. She looked like a skeleton. She hugged me, and we burst into tears together. We sat on a bench at the railway station, and Mother told me what had happened while I was away. My younger sister, Rosa, had starved to death. Mother lost almost 10 kilos from grief and sorrow. She ordered a cab, but I wanted to walk the streets of Berdichev and take in all its beauty. I took off my shoes just so I could feel the earth beneath my feet. Every once in a while, I just sat down on benches and cried. It was dawn by the time we got home, and my relatives had stayed awake, waiting. I never thought I'd see Shunya again. But I never thought there would be a war, that we would get back together, that we would have a child, and I would lose Shunya to the Germans, along with almost everyone in my family.
The Germans and their allies swept into the Soviet Union on the 22nd of June, 1941, and the first German tanks charged into Berdichev just 14 days later. The vast majority of the city's Jews here didn't even have the chance to flee. Within days, the Germans had set up a ghetto, and soon the shooting started. Vasily Grossman was reporting during the war for the Red Star newspaper, Krasnaya Zvezda, gathering stories for what would go into his masterwork, Life and Fate. Grossman's own mother had remained in Berdichev, and in Life and Fate, Grossman imagines the final letter Anna Strom wrote to her son, Victor Strom, before she was murdered in Berdichev. We encourage our listeners to look for Life and Fate's audio production from BBC Four, and we'll provide links in the show notes. Anna's letter, by the way, is read by Dame Janet Suzman.